Hello, everybody. My name is Eli Hollingsworth, and welcome back to Against the Current and the Chosen podcast, where today we're talking about The Chosen Season 4, Episode 3, and wow. I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably, soon after leaving the theater, listening or something, where you just saw The Chosen Season 4, Episodes 1, 2, and 3 in theaters, and wow, this Episode 3 really ended on a bang, didn't it? I mean, this is probably one of my favorite episodes of The Chosen so far. I mean, this is really, really good. I love this episode a lot. There's so much to love here. It's so great. And I, not that I love to see, spoiler warning, if you haven't seen The Chosen Season 4, Episodes 1, 2, and 3 in theaters, there is a big twist at the end of Season 4, Episode 3. And I would recommend, you know, really waiting to go see it in theaters or seeing it when it comes to the app, waiting until then before you listen, because it is a pretty big twist. It took me by surprise, I know that much. So I'm guessing it took a lot of other people by surprise as well, and people have told me it took them by surprise. So I would recommend, really, you got to experience it for yourself. So I highly recommend you click off. But for those of you who are staying, that ending was pretty, pretty crazy, and I seriously didn't see it coming. I mean, I will say in episode 3 when we started getting, you know, Rayma, well, as soon as Rayma and Thomas were having their little date in the field, and Rayma goes, we're going to be together forever, you know, I was like, okay, so she's dying. There's no way that they're going to be together. And the more I started thinking about it, the more it makes sense, right? Because, well, I don't know why I was thinking this. I guess I was just kind of under the assumption that, under the wrong assumption that Dallas and Ryan and Tyler are that cliche, where they just go, okay, well, we're going to give Thomas and Rayma a happy ending. I was kind of thinking in the back of my mind, that doesn't really make sense for doubting time. Like, the wedding, I don't know why, I thought there was going to be a wedding, I think. I did. Yeah, based on the set videos and stuff that we got of them wearing all purple and stuff, I was like, oh, you know, maybe they get married. Or, in the back of my mind, I was like, doesn't really make sense, because why would doubting Thomas gets a happy ending with Rayma, and then, oh, he's doubting Thomas. Like, I was like, oh, he's just doubting Thomas because he's just kind of quirky and analytical, like my Matthew is. Like, that does seem a little weak. So this ending makes a lot more sense. Like, I think it's again, it's a weird thing. Dallas and Ryan and Tyler are very annoying in the way that they write these stories, because they got us to the point where all of us watching the episode, like, I think all of us kind of watched that and went, oh no, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I watched that, and I watched it with my brother in theaters, and we both were kind of like, wow, that's terrible. Oh, but it makes sense. Like, it makes a lot of sense. And when you get to a point where a huge major character death, like Rayma getting stabbed by Quintus, I'm going to go ahead and say what the twist is so we can talk about it for those who are, you know, trying to avoid spoilers. That's what the twist is. For a major event like that, like a huge character death that very few people, I don't think anybody was expecting that, to a point where that's like, yep, you're like, yeah, I'm sad, but yep, that was necessary, and yep, that makes sense for the character and the story and where we think the story's going, I think that's a very good sign. That's a sign of a very intelligent writer. And, you know, just the more we learn about Dallas, Ryan, and Tyler, the more it's easy to see how insanely talented these guys are. Like, they're still finding ways to, you know, pull a fast one on us in a Bible show where we have the whole story laid out for us already. Like, we already know everything that's going to happen. And the fact that they can still pull major twists like this is crazy, and crazy talented on their part. Like, they are just so good at what they do. They're so awesome. And I really, really enjoyed Season 4, Episode 3. It is definitely one of my favorite episodes. Like, I loved it. I was like, wow. Walking out of the theater, after having sat in there for 3 hours, over 3 hours, because it started at 6:30, I got out of there at 10, I was like, wow, that was good. That's all I could say, you know, was wow. And so I do want to go over the main events of the episode, obviously, so let's start with the intro. So we start with David and Bathsheba, and we actually get this story from 2 Samuel chapter 12, which starts in verse 15. And the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him that the child is dead? He may do himself some harm. But then David saw that his servants were whispering together. David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, is the child dead? They said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went into his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servants said to him, what is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food. He said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. So that's straight from the Bible, straight from 2 Samuel. And I really like the portrayal of this scene in The Chosen and the way it ties into Thomas and Ramah's story that we see later in the episode. I was thinking, you know, because whenever they do these King David tie-ins, which are always very cool, I love the King David stuff. You know, I was thinking when they showed that, I was like, whoa, I wonder how that's going to tie. It's always cool when they do a extra biblical, it's from the Bible. When they do a story outside of the greatest story ever told in the Jesus stuff, when they tie it back to something from the Old Testament or stuff, then you get to wonder the whole time going, oh, how does that tie into the current events that are happening right now? Because they always tie it in a really, really cool way. And in this episode, it was dealing with death and how... Because, okay, so David cheated on his wife. No, he didn't cheat. He didn't have a wife. David slept with Bathsheba, who was already married, and he sent her husband to the front lines of war to be killed, right? So he committed adultery and murder, two sins. And so when he had a child with Bathsheba, then God afflicted their child with sickness and caused him to die. Now, that does beg the question, then, did Thomas and Ramah sin? Like, is there something in the implications of the show with all the stuff that happened just now in Season 4, Episode 3? What is this implying that Thomas and Ramah did some kind of sin that was then caused God to afflict Ramah, even though that is an extra biblical moment? I don't think that's the implication of tying this in here. I think it's just the death part, but I don't think that's the implication. I might be reading that wrong. I think I am. But when The Chosen portrays David talking to Bathsheba, which is outside of the Bible, he says she talks about not being able to bring their son back, and he says we will go to that same end. Could be a long time. Could be tomorrow. This is the way of all things. And I just thought this was really cool of a way of tying this in of talking about this subject of grief and of dread that you know, now Thomas is, even though Ramah isn't from the Bible, we all kind of accepted her as chosen family, right? Because she was so, it was, oh, it's cute, you know, Ramah and Thomas's relationship. And so now that she's dead, just kind of tying in these themes of grief, and especially with King David, who we know is going to get tied in later when we get closer to the finale. Just how much they tie in King David is really, really cool. And always when they do, it's very meaningful, and they always just tie it in really well. It's always super well done. So anyway, so we get the opening scene in this episode. Quintus is, I don't know if we like him anymore. that was pretty mean. That was not fair, okay? And I don't exactly blame Quintus, because he's not at fault here. It's Dallas, Ryan, and Tyler, right? So let's be mad at them. But so now we look back on, oh my goodness, this is just going to tint every perception of The Chosen episode so far. Now rewatches are ruined, because we look back and we're like, oh, fun, Quintus, he's likable, huh? He's a funny villain. And we're like, Ramon Thomas, huh, being cute. Now it's just, that's... Anyway, so we get the opening scene with Quintus. He's looking at his, like, numbers and stuff. And then he gets mad, and he goes out in a tent city, and he starts disrupting the city, and he says his ledgers. And then we get this scene that we saw, what was it, last year over the summer, where we got that scene between Gaius and Quintus, where he says, you know, my ledgers are in the red. I'm done giving you ideas. I just want results. And he tells him that the tent city will shrink by 10 cubits every day, or Gaius will be demoted to a centurion. And then Gaius kind of is threatened there. And then we get the scene that we saw in the BTS footage that was pretty cool, where a funny scene where James and John come home to their parents, and their mom is kind of asking them, because their parents sense that something's wrong. And then James and John are kind of, you know, not wanting to tell their mom about Salome. They're not wanting to tell her about their little incident with Simon Peter, how he got his name changed. And The interesting thing about this scene is, well, first of all, this is relatable to everyone, right? This is kind of how, like, a mother, kind of all of our, we can relate to a mother's acting, right? She's wanting to defend her pride and her flock and her boys who are so strapping and awesome, and they're just the best. Why wouldn't they get titles? It's easy to see, it's just cool to see the personalities on James and John, right? How they weren't particularly against Peter, but it was almost kind of like they knew that if their mom found out, she would persuade them to provoke Jesus to defend their honor instead of just them wanting to do it themselves. Like, I think it's a cool character quality that it just makes them feel more real and more human, right? That they weren't specifically, as soon as Peter got his name changed, wanting to go and ask Jesus to sit at his right and left hand. Like, they just didn't want to tell their mom because they knew that if they told their mom would then stir them up to do that. So I think that's just a cool character quality. Like, they aren't specifically offended about it enough to do something. They just know that their mom is going to persuade them and stir them up into doing something. So I like that character quality a lot. And this scene was funny because she's like, oh, what are your new names? And they don't have any. So just a funny scene how John is like, oh, I'll get some new wine. Simon got his name changed. Who wants more wine? Yeah, so. And then we get Thomas and John are getting ready for Thomas's date with Rayma. And I don't even really want to talk about it anymore. Like, it was just mean. It was mean. I am very impressed. I am very happy. Like, I am more happy than sad walking out of that episode and being like, okay, they did it. Like, they had the guts to go for it. I didn't think they were going to go for it with the walking on water either. You know, I genuinely was like, still, even at the point when we heard the wave, or we heard the thunder rolling, I was like, I don't think they're going to do it. And I've underestimated Ryan, Tyler, and Dallas one too many times. You know, it's crazy. It's really funny, actually, how it all plays out. How smart they are, you know, in their storytelling. Again, it's really a marvel that we have the whole story laid out for us in the four Gospels. We know everything that's happening, and we can always go back to tons of passages of scripture or, you know, to figure out what's going to happen next and that kind of thing, and yet they're still finding ways to genuinely shock us. So anyway, Thomas and Rayma are on their little date, and Andrew's chaperoning, and it's all funny and nice in retrospect. Wow. And, you know, it's funny because they're talking, and, like, Andrew coughs, and it's just funny, a very funny scene. This is likable, you know, it's cute, it's funny. Before you know what happens next. So then Thomas gives Rayma a sundial. And she's like, and this is the point in the episode where I actually started to know that Rayma was going to die. I actually knew that she was going to die. Like, I didn't expect it at all. And I still was half expecting them not to do it by the time we got to the end. I was hoping that they wouldn't. I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. But it was at this scene when Rayma, you know, gets the sundial and she's like, we're going to be together forever. Like, as soon as she says that, it's like, oh, okay, then she's not making out of this episode. So, I like that, you know, they kind of did give you, like, a little precursor. They were like, all right, here's a warning. Like, very clearly, you're warned. Like, then we get Jairus in the synagogue. He comes and he's listening in on Rabbi Akiva as he's reading the edict to question anything relating to Jesus, and this is where we get, you know, things start building and the tension starts getting more intense. And I really like this episode. You can feel the tension. Like, when we get to the big event later in the episode, you know, my stomach dropped. Like, I felt it in my gut. And that's what you want in a movie or TV show, is when it really makes you feel like that. And I mean, it's just great. I love it. I love it so much. I love this episode a lot. This is probably one of my favorites. And I said, I'm repeating myself. I always do that. Whatever. So we get a scene where the disciples are kind of dining in Simon's house. Jesus is hanging out there, and he's preparing to give his big sermon that he's been planning. And Eden asks why he's really doing the sermon. And Jesus says that there's growing tension from different parties, and he must ensure that they are listening to the right voice. And then we got to James and John debating on how to ask Jesus to sit at his right and left hand. It's cool they handled it to where in the Bible, in one gospel account, it says that it was Salome who asked Jesus. And in another one, it says it was James and John who asked Jesus if they could sit at his right and left hand. So it was cool how they, you know, maybe added to that confusion because she was the one who suggested it, but they're the ones who are going to ask it. And then Simon comes over to Matthew and kind of asks him what he's seeing. And Matthew's a little nervous because Gaius warned him not to preach because it was going to be a big deal and there's a lot of danger involved. As we see later in the episode, that's very much true. So then we get a cute little interaction between Simon and Matthew now that they're friends now. We like to see that. You know, at least we get to have something positive here. So then Jesus comes to Barnabas and Shula with the rest of the disciples, and they tell him about the edict and how it's probably not a good idea. And then he comes to the blind man. So we get also Jesus healing the blind man, which was really, really cool to see how that scene played out. He told James to get a bucket of water, draw water from the well. And that was just such a classic and specific Bible moment when Jesus spit in the mud and rubbed mud on his eyes. And here it's to teach the Pharisees a lesson, which is cool. So then he starts preaching to the people, and the Pharisees take the blind man away into the synagogue, and then Jesus starts preaching to the people. So in the synagogue, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Josiah are talking to the blind man, and his parents come in. As we see in the Bible, that scene plays out, and Jairus is there, and the blind man says, you know, all I know is this man must be from God, because I once was blind, but now I see. And then we cut back to Jesus, and he's outside preaching. And we get a little monologue from where he actually says woe to the Pharisees. This is actually from that same chapter, I believe, where Jesus is talking about the evil generation that seeks signs. This is from Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 29. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up." Okay, so then that... And then, while Jesus was speaking, so this scene that's from the book of Luke that we hear in an account wasn't included in The Chosen, which I was kind of expecting to see, but they decided to leave this part out. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. So that's when that sparked this whole cleanliness discussion that we see in The Chosen Season 4, Episode 3, instead of that, they decide to make it about Jesus rubbing mud on the blind man's eyes, which does make a lot of sense, and it is cool how they tied that in. So then he gives the woe to the Pharisees. He says, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside," and by the way, this is from Luke 11, verse 39, "but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also?" And we see that, you know, whole scene with The Chosen, the way that plays out. And it's cool to see, you know, just the actual biblical words in there. And Jesus was not just speaking to the Pharisees at this point in the show. He was also speaking to modern churches who I think can be more obsessed with, as we, you know, they kind of, this is a similar message in Jesus' Revolution as well. But, you know, so focused on the ritual, the literal, the doings, the actions that, as Jonathan said when he was on The View recently, they missed the heart of the law instead of just doing the practicality, the practical things of the law. So then they're arguing there, and then things are getting heated in the background with guys. So this guy, okay, also I do want to mention this. This guy, Jed, who I believe is the same person who tattletaled on Veronica in Season 3, Episode 6. Is it Season 3, Episode 6? No, it might be 5. Sorry, correct me. I think it's 5. Jed, who nobody likes. He is seemingly showing genuine interest in Jesus. I couldn't tell if it was like, when he got those people out of the tent, I thought it was like going to be a staged thing or something. But it seems that Jed here is coming to the light. And he's a smaller character, but I still like to see how this is kind of coming about. But, you know, Jesus is talking about neglecting justice and mercy, and then people start getting trampled. Matthew actually comes to Gaius. And then it's, you know, we need to get Jesus out of there. That's the thing, because the people are getting all riled up against the Pharisees as Jesus is talking about them. And Jesus is right in everything that he's saying. And so then Atticus comes to Gaius and tells him to give a message to Quintus. So then Julius comes and gives a message to Quintus. And the message is, what you do next will determine your career. Which is, things are getting heated now. And it's very cool the way they played this out in the episode. So they're losing control, and Simon says, we need to get out. And then Thomas tells Raymond to leave, and she says that she's staying. It was at this moment that young Eli Hollingsworth, sitting in the theater watching The Chosen Season 4, Episodes 1, 2, and 3, realized that Reyma was not making it out of this crowd alive. One way or another, she was going to die. Which, you know, I again, hats off. Bravo to Dallas and the team. You got me. That's awesome. Great. Great job. Now, I would like to send you my bills for my therapy. Because that was not fair. It's not fun. I don't like that. That was... all jokes, of course, because I think it's great storytelling, and it's awesome. You know, I always harken back to, you know, this is a Bible show. It's great when we're getting surprises like this. We really are eating good here. They ate, as the youth generation says nowadays, Dallas, Ryan, and Tyler ate and left no crumbs. It felt so unnatural. I promise I won't do it again. Sorry, my bad. So they're losing control of the crowd, and Reyma is told to stop, but she doesn't. Worst mistake of her life, and actually the last mistake of her life. As a matter of fact, she shall not be making any more mistakes. You know, because technically, at this point, she's physically unable to do anything anymore. You know, you get it. Okay, you understand. And so Jesus is still preaching to the Pharisees. He says, "Whatever you say in the dark shall be heard in the light. Do you think I have come to give peace on earth? No, rather division." And he's still talking to the Pharisees here, making his point very known to these guys. He starts saying, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees." And then Achaeus comes to Gaius, and he sees that Jesus might have gotten to Gaius. And he understands why Gaius has been holding off on Jesus this whole time, and what all is really going on with Gaius. And it clicks for Achaeus, and... he understands why Gaius has been acting the way he has. He says he was wrong about Gaius. And then Quintus comes in, and this is where things get more and more heated. So Quintus comes in, and he tells Gaius to arrest Jesus, and Gaius says no. He refuses to arrest Jesus. And then Gaius gets arrested. This is crazy. All right, so already things are spiraling out of control. You know, emotional stability is very much on the edge. I feel like a schizophrenic... insane man who is hallucinating and is high on drugs and probably has Down syndrome. Also, that's the stability level that my emotions are at right now. And already things are getting out of control. And Quintus grabs Thaddeus. There's a little... Quintus gets knocked over in the crowd. Thaddeus is in there. Quintus is asking where Jesus is. Jesus is getting out of there, but the disciples are all spread out amongst the crowd, and they're trying to find each other. And already things are just... You know, I mean, we've handled stuff before, but, like, come on, man. Can you give us a break? Sometimes, you know, sometimes you can just be mean. So Thomas finds Reyma. They get together, and then Thomas and Reyma walk past Quintus, who has now pulled a sword on the crowd. What a surprising turn of events. To be fair, now that I'm thinking about it, right? To be fair, Thomas did walk past the man who pulled a very sharp weapon on the crowd. He just kind of tried to nudge past him. I don't know. Maybe there could have been a better way to handle that. But, you know, okay, so it happened, yeah. And we're all distraught. And there's us after, or no, sorry, there's us before we saw this scene in The Chosen Season 4, Episode 3. And then there's us after we saw this episode. There are two different versions of all of us now. You know, it's changed us. It's changed our brain chemistry. It's changed, altered our existence. Because, wow, what a very surprising and shocking turn of events that none of us saw coming. So, crazy. Crazy stuff. Anyway, so then Jesus hears this happening. Mary is shouting for help. Everybody's gathered around Reyma. Big James pulls a sword, and it was at this... Okay, so Big James pulls a knife. This was in the trailer. This was the shot in the trailer, and I thought this is where Big James was going to get his head hurt. And it turns out that it wasn't. So we'll see that later. So interesting, first of all. But also, so that means... No! Because I was like, okay, great. So they're going to do a 1-2 punch. So we have... I was thinking this while watching the episode in the theater. I was like, okay, great. So Big James is going to pull a sword, and then he's going to get hit on the head, and then they're going to have to rush out, and the episode ends... with Reyma dying and then them having to cross the river or whatever. That's what I thought. I was like, okay, great. We're going to get both of these over with, and then we'll continue the rest of the season. So now, no. We actually have to wait to see Big James's head get hurt, which means that more trauma, more grief and pain is going to be more spread out. It's not just it's quick and painful, and then it's over with. Boom, over, moving on to the next thing. Now it's no, it's going to be spread out. You know, we're going to have to wait for it. We're going to have to endure it for longer. Yeah, okay, great. So I thought Big James was going to get his head hurt after he pulled the sword or his knife immediately, but it turns out he wasn't, so I guess he's fine. And as I didn't catch, but I'm going to give a shout-out to Sabrina Pierce here, who is one of the biggest chosen fans. Dallas mentioned her on our interview. You guys have probably seen her in the fan clubs because she's very, very active. Probably the biggest chosen fan out there. Like, huge, huge on the Chosen. She said, I think she said she's going to go see these episodes in theaters 15 times. Now, I'm a resilient person, all right? I can sit through a lot of TV, a lot of television, but 15 times in the theater? That's 15 times 3, which is 45 hours. That's almost 2 full days in the theater, which is crazy. So, she's a devout fan. Anyway, she pointed out to me, I didn't catch this because I was busy jotting down notes feverishly, such as, how could they do this to us? That's somewhere in my notes, I think. She pointed out that Atticus was actually, she said he looked furious about this. He did not look happy about Quintus stabbing Rayma. So I didn't catch that. If you guys caught that, that's great. So that's very interesting as well. And Jesus comes to Thomas and Rayma, and Thomas is like, heal her. And, you know, I was part of the optimist side of me, and the fantasizer was when Jesus walked out, I was like, okay, great, Rayma's going to be healed. She's going to get healed, and then we won't have to worry about her dying, yay. But then as soon as he walked up and just stood there, then, you know, I thought, oh, that makes much more sense. It makes a lot more sense that he's going to stand there and watch her die, which is crazy. Oh, and they went there, too. They didn't just, like, say that, like they didn't just, like, show Brandon Potter, who plays Quintus, like, moving his arm, and then everybody going, she's stabbed. Like, they showed it. They showed the wound. They showed the blood. It was cool, man. I like that. You know, sometimes we like some gnarly action in there, some gnarly deaths, and it was kind of gnarly, you know? I like a gnarly death every once in a while. If I can get that in my Jesus show, you know, that wasn't on my bingo card, per se. Well, okay, I guess the gnarly death that's coming in season 6 is on the bingo card, but not this one, so that was a cool bonus. But Jesus just standing there and watching Rayma die as Thomas is pleading with him makes so much more sense to the character of Thomas as we, you know, get him later, being very skeptical, the doubting Thomas. Like, and also it shows how more important Lazarus's miracle is going to be, you know, how Thomas is going to react to all of that stuff. It's very interesting. And the more I look at it, the more it's inevitable. It makes so much sense for Rayma to get killed and Jesus not to raise her or heal her in any way. It makes tons of sense. And it's, you know, necessary for the story. So anyway, Rayma dies, and that's where the episode ends. So, I mean, man, what an emotional roller coaster. There's still more of the hilarious, funny moments that we all love from The Chosen here in this episode. And one of the most heavy, like, I felt like I was benching 120 walking out of that theater, you know, like, crazy, the weight of what just happened, the weight of what we all just witnessed was crazy, you know. It was, they literally went there, they had the guts to do it, they pulled it off, and I couldn't be happier to see it. I mean, that was awesome. That was a very cool scene. And, you know, again, I always say this, but it's kind of weird how obsessed we are now. We're like, yes, yes, she died, great. Us as a fan base, I think the Chosen community is evolving to be, you know, sometimes we have to take a step back and look at ourselves and go, you know, am I a good person? Because some of these death scenes are, you know, it's very necessary for the story. So I'm very happy to see it happen. And the way it was pulled off, brilliant. As always, you know, I gotta stop underestimating these guys. They really are some of the best in the world. And they'll never get the credit, the worldly credit that you would think they would deserve from people like Emmys or awards or anything, because it's, you know, a Jesus show. But looking at the writing of it, looking at the intricacies of it, and the planning out and the methodical ways that it's executed, it's just great. It's awesome. It's brilliant. It was just so well done. And, you know, just walking away from this episode, you know, you feel all of the emotions. The more emotions that you can pack into a television show, into an episode, into a movie, you know, the broader the spectrum, like, you know, Up, one of the only animated movies in history to be nominated for Best Picture. I don't know if it won. I forget if it did. But one of the only, not just best animated feature at the Oscars, best picture, often regarded one of the best movies. You know, everybody talks about, oh, how much I cry in Up, you know, the Pixar's film Up, you know, the one about the old man, the balloon house. That one, that movie starts off with one of the saddest prologues in cinema history, and yet continues down the line, and as you get later in the movie, brings some of the biggest laughs in cinema history. It's one of the funniest movies ever as well. So the ones that stick with us and that we remember the most are the ones that just have the widest range of emotions. And The Chosen definitely has a very wide range of emotions. And there's just so much greatness packed into this episode. And I am so glad that we are finally here in season 4, guys. I mean, man. If you haven't listened to my review of season 4, episodes 1 and 2, I would highly recommend you go do that. They're both out right now. We have all gotten to experience a little taste of season 4. Now, I can't wait to wait. And 2 more weeks is going to be a lot to wait to see 4 through 6. But it's going to be awesome, guys. I mean, we're already off to a great start here. I'm very grateful to be at this point. We've crossed 10,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel. And I don't want to, like, plug myself. I never want to. I just want to talk about the show. But thank you guys so much for 10,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel. I've gained these subscribers. It's been less than a year to go from 600 to 10,000, so I'm very thankful. That's awesome. The podcast continues to grow, and just this show continues to grow. The community, the family, the Chosen family, which is the best in the world by far. You know, it's just the show is expanding. People are seeing it. The show is getting better and better with every season, every episode. The writing is just off the charts. I am so glad to get to be a part of this and to get to even just, you know, have this to watch, you know, me being 16 years old, almost 17, 16 years old, and having to get this show, you know, just having this in my life. It's amazing. It's super awesome. I cannot wait for episodes 4, 5, and 6. So I will see you guys next time. Be sure to watch my YouTube video. I'm going to be coming out with a YouTube video every single day this week. I'm going to try to at least. And again, I am talking, probably, I'm on a cruise right now. I'm on a cruise for this week. So I will be back after that to talk more about The Chosen Season 4. I'm trying to record as much content before I leave as I can. So thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. And I'll see you guys next time. Or I guess you will hear me next time. Binge Jesus.